So there is so much going on, and I, as you all were part of my email blast that I sent out after the Fed meeting,
Which I
because
loved.
we all know the media loves to put out there that rates just went up. So let's talk about
it. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real, real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Under All is the Land. I am your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, Silver Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hi.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. You should just subscribe now before you even watch this, because that's how good it's going to be. Anyway, this week has been crazy with Fed announcements and sky is falling and all of this kind of crazy talk. So we do have a special guest, emergency update style, from Leslie Black at WeFund LA, who joined us a few podcast episodes ago. And then the meat and potatoes of today's episode is going to be about something positive, which is spiritual interior design. So I cannot wait to crack that nut with our guest, Karina Ayas-Serpent, who has a wild story herself. And she can give us some tips and tricks on how to bring good energy into our home and how to manifest things using interior design. So to get started, are your clients freaking out?
Yes.
Yeah? They are? Buyers or sellers?
Both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's happening?
Well, buyers are like, well, maybe it's a good time to rent. Maybe we shouldn't buy. And it's just like they're all reading the national headlines are getting pushed. And I keep telling everyone, look, you still have a great opportunity to buy right now. Some buyers believe the headlines and they're not buying anymore, which makes the buyer pool smaller.
Right.
You have great opportunity to buy things. You're paying today's prices, not next year's prices. When the interest rates go back down, more buyers will come into the market. What will happen? The prices
multiple
go
offers.
Up insane to insane
That's
territory
the,
again.
This is the piece.
So this is the time I feel like if you can stick with it, and like you said, you date your interest rate, you don't marry it, you refinance when the rates come back down, but you're still paying today's prices for your property. So it's a win-win, because if you rent, it's 100% you're paying somebody else's mortgage.
100%.
So that's what my buyers are
saying.
Yeah,
I always ask myself, when the headlines are pushing this way, who wins? Who's the winner if you back out of the market? I posted about it today on Instagram too. I'm like, who wins? It's definitely the landlords. Mm-hmm. But guess what? That's just going to create more of a shortage in the rental market, which there already is. So now it's going to be even a higher price for rent. So now you're even paying more of somebody else's mortgage other than your own. That's one thing.
Right.
And then the other thing is like what we were talking about with corporate takeovers of neighborhoods. I mean, they have the money to create news stories that would scare the shit out of people and make prices come down, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
Or put things on pause.
I saw a New York Times article that was like, the sky is falling. I'm like, oh my God, really? It's not. This is not 2008. These Mm-mm. are not the same conditions. Mm-mm. None of this is the same. Where is the pushback media that is actually like saying, hey, this is actually a good thing. Now buyers can get in, have more, more power and leverage in their competitive offer bidding. So maybe there'll be 5 offers instead of 20. But, you know, your higher interest rate might make your monthly payment higher, but your sales price may come down a little bit. So it's going to level out. It's always 6 of one, 6 of the other.
And we're in LA, the market, we still have a shortage, an inventory shortage.
Right.
So the same thing, I have the conversation with my sellers too, because they're sort of like
freaking out too.
What are we doing? Yeah. Are we going to get enough offers? I'm like, this is LA. Like, you have a good property, you'll have multiple offers.
Right.
You just have to strategically price.
Right.
Like, don't get carried away by all this, well, this sold for that. Let's ask for a higher price than we would initially do, because the power of underpricing still works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know you have something
to that. I was going to say, for people who don't know what we're talking about, why would people be freaking out? Well, the reason why people are freaking out is because the interest rates that started off this year at like 3% are now like 6%. which a lot of people were taking it back by because obviously they were expecting that they were going to get these like dirt cheap rates, right? Mm-hmm. But those rates were pandemic rates.
Right.
They were rates that were created out of catastrophe and a need to balance the market.
Right.
So of course they're not going to last forever because they weren't forever rates.
Right.
They were rates to stimulate the economy. But now, obviously, we're dealing with inflation, so they've got to balance that out. And so what they're doing is now raising the rates.
Right.
But when you look at the rates and you look at them historically, they're actually still really so low.
And yes. By the way, I had a client just today message me that he got a 4.5% on a 30-year fixed. And I was like, that's amazing.
There you go.
Wow. Right? So, but also, you're only, I'm saying, Bank of America. I said, you're only going to be paying any higher interest rate for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. It's such a short-sighted, mistake for buyers to only buy when the market's crazy. Interest rates are low. There are multiple offers. It's insane. The same banana heads, all your friends doing it, everything like this. It's so stupid to buy then and only then when now you there's so much opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like so much.
There's opportunity. And I think that, you know, what people think or what they're being sold right now is this idea that, you know, we're about to have this huge bubble burst and shit's going to go south. So it's like, no. If you buy right now, maybe you're going to buy cheaper next year. I can tell you so. in this market, mm-mm. That is
not going to happen.
That's not going to happen because the prices are driven by lack of supply mm-hmm. and demand.
Right.
And even when interest rates rise, yes, you get some people who are taken out of the mix, which is why on some houses, rather than having 20 offers, you're having like 7 offers.
Right.
Which it's is still actually
7
great.
Offers, right?
Well, yeah. Which yeah. is great, still great for sellers. So it's not like sellers, it's not a good market for you to be in. But buyers, it's also not a bad market for you to be in because mm-hmm. now you have more leverage in that you're not in a pool of 20 other buyers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You might be in a pool of 7, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, and still you're going to have to come correct.
I remember
correct,
when we were
not
coming out of 2008, I was like, say, in 2011 in Highland Park, I was selling properties for $300,000. Steve Jones would renovate them. We'd sell them for $550,000. We were doing high fives all day long. Like, this is amazing. You're making like a little profit on this property and there are people willing to buy and we got 4 or 5 offers.
And this is only 11 happy. Years ago. 11
we
years
were
ago.
So happy. So yeah, people have been spoiled, you know, mm-hmm. and that's okay too. But like, what are you going to do? Wait for another 10 years, pay rent for another 10 years until the interest rates come down. You're making more money. And again, you're at 6 of 1, half dozen of the other. I just don't understand where people's thought processes are. But to that end, I'd like to introduce Leslie Black from WeFund LA to do an emergency update on the Fed announcement and what the funk is going on in our market. So Leslie, can you join us?
Thanks for having me.
Yes. So what the funk is going on?
So there is so much going on, and I, as you all were part of my email blast that I sent out after the Fed meeting,
which
because
I loved.
We all know the media loves to put out there that rates just went up, so let's talk about it. What went up? The federal funds rate. That is what went up after the Fed meeting by 75 basis points. So I had a lot of clients asking, where is my rate at today? How much did we increase? And to be honest, it actually was a good thing that rates went up. We needed the Fed to step up to show aggressiveness in fighting inflation because, to be honest, we had been at a free fall where we were trying to find a floor and a bottom since the June inflation report came out. And the bond market, and as we all know, the stock market was just going bananas and rates were going up. As soon as the Fed came in and did the 75 basis point rate hike to the federal funds rate, not to mortgage rates. Can we get that one more time?
Yeah.
Not to mortgage rates. We found a bottom. We actually had a little bit of recovery in mortgage rates. And so now we're back where you can easily say you can probably still get an ARM in the fours, probably high fours. You can probably still get a conventional loan in the mid to high fives. But before that happened, before the federal funds rate went up by 75 basis points, conventional loans were approaching the high sixes. So we needed that. We actually recovered 122 basis points in the bond market. So it was a good thing, y'all. A really, really, really good thing. So.
Yeah. Who wins whenever the headlines are trying to push this narrative of like, you know, the sky is falling. And you know, I mean, everyone from the New York Times to Inman, like, I'm seeing these headlines everywhere.
Mm-hmm. No one wins, because I think that what it really does is it causes panic off of misinformation sometimes, mm-hmm. unfortunately. There's another thing that I heard CNBC recently say, mm-hmm. that inflation has peaked. Inflation has not peaked. We're expecting inflation to peak sometime in the fall. And so that's simply from following inflation data from the rolling 12 months. Inflation actually wasn't at its highest last year in the summertime. It reached its peak around fall last year. So for following that same trend, inflation should peak sometime in October, right? Here's the other thing, and we kind of touched on this the last podcast, was that inflation is the driving force of rates going up, not just the federal funds rate trying to combat inflation, right? But the market, the bond market follows inflation. So rates going up, also, it doesn't just follow it one way, right? I've had a lot of questions from clients on, well, what if rates don't come down? Well, just as the market and the bond market follows inflation rising, leads to rates rise, mortgage rates rising, they're also going to come down, right, when inflation starts to come
they
down.
They always do.
You look at this going back to 1950, you're going to see the same cycle we're in now. You're going to see it going as far back as 1950, 1960. High inflation leads to higher rates, which leads to inflation peaking. When inflation dips, so do rates, right? So You all were talking about earlier today about an interesting time right now with higher rates and less buyer competition. It is so, so true. I almost feel like because we're expecting inflation to peak sometime in the fall, there's an interesting opportunity now with higher rates, probably through the end of the year until rates go back down at some point in 2023. Buyers are going to flood the market. So where does housing end up? It thrives. It's going to be so competitive.
It's true. I had a flipper client one time tell me, well, the market's always good for somebody. So I'm always thinking about that whenever I see people coming in or falling out. So investors tend to make their most money when they buy low and sell high. So they take opportunity whenever people are freaking out, walking away. Now you'll start to see low ball offers, sellers are panic selling, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's when investors swoop in and make the big buys. People who make the most money on real estate have a high risk tolerance. They are not afraid to play the game. The people who are freaking out right now and jumping out are the people who just got in at the tail end of what they considered to be like this going up. So these are the people who have the least risk tolerance of all buyers.
They're also the people that haven't written 20 offers and got turned down because every house had 50 offers,
right,
and have this what we call like the buyer fatigue,
right?
They haven't had that. They don't know how good they have it now,
right?
With going up against 8 other people, and at the end it's really just 2 or 3 others make the final 3.
So in my assessment of things, there hasn't been a better time to buy in the past 8 years. I don't think there's been a better time to buy than right now.
100%. And to follow with that, because the other thing you'll hear in the media also, housing crisis, the market's going to crash, housing's going to crash. How about foreclosure is at a multi-decade low right now, the lowest it's ever been, right?
Thank you.
The toughest time, I would say the most uncertain time, including where we are right now, which is entering a recessionary period, which is what we're describing, high inflation, high rates, followed by thriving housing and lower rates. But let's talk about 2020 and 2021 when the pandemic hit. That is actually the most unstable our market had ever been. And in hindsight, anyone that bought then or was looking to buy, right, they thought it was a great time because of rates, right? Every American was able to refinance their loan in that time. But forbearance, it worked, right? You had all of these individuals that owned homes that had equity in their homes, and because of something unprecedented like the pandemic, the forbearance came out. It worked. You're not going to see foreclosures and short sales how a housing crash would expect them to see. You have so much value and equity in your home.
Explain what forbearance is.
Okay, so forbearance was in 2020 and 2021 when the pandemic hit, and a lot of individuals were affected, right? In LA, let's talk about who specifically, a lot of the entertainment industry, right? If you were an actor, producer, someone on set, you were forced to not be able to be on set,
right?
So the world essentially shut down, but also specific trades shut down, right? So what happened? Sometimes individuals didn't have the ability to pay their mortgage because of something unprecedented like the pandemic. So banks came up with, and the states and federal government came up with forbearance, right? And so it allowed you to skip your mortgage if you needed to because of the pandemic and because of employment, because we knew there was equity in these homes. Now, it doesn't mean that it's free money that was just had gone away.
Right.
You had I think about three ways to pay it back.
Yeah, like they
right?
tacked it on to the end. Yeah, right. That was one way.
It's somewhat of a modification, or you pay it over time, or you pay it as a lump sum if you wanted to refinance because rates were, whatever the case is, forbearance worked, right? And mm-hmm. so it allowed in an unprecedented time for these individuals to be able to not pay their mortgage, right?
It's so funny because
everybody works together, solutions can be found.
Yeah.
A lot of people jumped out. Mm-hmm. People were canceling deals left and right. Nobody knew what was going to happen. It was like that for maybe 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it was game on. Yes. Well, so I feel like the entertainment industry, particularly in LA, even though it had, I'm sure if you're a talent on set, there was some of that, whatever. But I do think a lot of people were able to successfully work from home.
Absolutely.
And that shifted, you know, now people are buying in Altadena. There were 42 offers on the house I wrote on in Altadena, which I hadn't seen ever. I know it's like people were just moving out of the high density, moving out. They could do that now because they could work from home.
That is the move. And I was one of those, right? My husband and I lived in downtown LA because he worked on the west side at a hedge fund and offices in Pasadena for me, Highland Park area. So downtown was really the middle mm-hmm, ground for mm-hmm. us. We were one of those that as soon as the pandemic hit March of 2020, we started looking for a home because what happened? He was able to work from home now. And that's what was kind of keeping us in downtown. And so we all agree, right? Mm-hmm. COVID and the pandemic changed the way we view housing as individuals and as a whole, right? And that's what's making our housing market so strong.
Right.
We all want that now, right? Yeah. If you were someone that traveled and just felt, you know, it's just not for me, I don't need to make that long-term commitment when I'm constantly traveling, well, now you don't, right? So it changed the perspective.
So you heard it here first, folks. We're in an amazing time to buy. Leslie, thank you so, so, so much for joining us today with this update, and hope we can call on you in the future so we can dispel more myths about what's going on.
Absolutely. Always happy to join. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you so much. And now with some inspirational stories, because since you're still going to buy that house, you're still going to need good interior design, and not just good interior design, spiritually healthy interior design. We are inviting Karina Aya Serpent, our favorite spiritual interior designer and a snake dancing general badass female, to Under All Is the Land. Welcome, Karina.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome to Acme. Welcome
Thank
to our
you.
Space.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
Beautiful. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Tell us where you're from and your story and how you got into spiritual design.
Well, where should I start? I've been raised in a theater, right? And my mom was producing shows and things, and I kind of started dancing and performing there since very young age. So for me, that was in Russia. That was back in Russia where, very, very different. Yeah, that's kind of my path, just continued to evolve in that direction. I was a performer for, I guess, until now. I've never done really anything else than being creative and performing and setting up different scenes and environments.
Yeah, but you were like a costume designer. You organized huge parties in the hills with flowy women dancing and dipping in water. I've been there. I know.
Yes, but I feel like it's one thing. You know, it's just creative process. So I create environments. I create experiences. It could be performing and dancing. It could be setting up an environment. It could be creating a costume. It could be creating dresses and dressing someone up. It's all kind of one entity.
Right. So yeah. And then what took you down to Brazil?
Well, I always have been very passionate about the jungle. Mm-hmm. And when I was 13, I wrote that I married the forest. And this is something that I knew was deep in my heart.
Okay, okay.
So I eventually did marry the forest. I went there the first time and I left my... I still love it so much. There's so much nature and so much beauty, and it really fulfills every aspect of my life. I met a man there, but he happened to be a chief of a tribe, mm-hmm. and we have a daughter. So,
so it went well.
It went well. It went really well. Okay. You know, we have different lifestyles, but we do travel back and forth and visit each other. We're really good friends now, and it's exciting to have a family
yeah.
that is practicing, you know, old ancient ways. And we really, my mother, my brother, my father, who are coming from different traditions and different, you know, worlds, they also really enjoy the work and the lifestyle that they have there in the forest, and they're kind of really wow. connecting to it at this point.
So, you know, I know, and I'm going to give you guys Karina's Instagram, but you can actually see these beautiful videos of her life in the forest and also your snake dancing and and the beautiful parties in Beverly Hills and all the things. They're all things. On the Instagram mm-hmm. of Karina_Aya, which is AYA underscore serpent. So Karina_Aya_serpent on Instagram. You have all these beautiful videos. But we want to know too, how has mm-hmm. that influenced the way you create home? So tell me about your approach to spiritual interior design.
Well, to me, as I said, setting up the environment to create an event or at home is fundamental, because that's what really inspires us to bring in certain habits or certain practices into our life. Mm-hmm. So shapes and colors and textures, they all have energy. Every object has energy, and where you place it and how you put it and what color it is, it also creates certain, you know, ways that you would navigate your day, right?
So say you haven't gotten laid for a while, right? Like you're mm-hmm. trying to get laid, you bought a new house, you're thinking the lady's gonna live it or whatever, mm-hmm. and you're designing your bedroom. What mm-hmm. what do you put in your bedroom to attract, like, you know, the perfect mate?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of feng shui is involved as well, right? Because they know how to place
objects,
furniture,
okay.
yeah, and how to move it around the house, which I do a lot, and I've done it since I was very little. Every time my father would come into the room, my walls would be different color, and, you know, everything is moved around, but that's another story. So if you want to bring in a lot of passion and love into your bedroom, into yeah. your, you know, personal life, red is the color of action, is the color of passion. Mm-hmm. You can bring a lot of people nowadays, they have fake plants at home. I understand where it's like some, but plants, something that's growing, if you want a real relationship, if you want pure relationship, let's say you want a husband, bring in light colors and textures that are, you know, if you just want to have fun, that's one thing, you know, but if you really want to have a loving and pure relationship, then bring light colors. And honestly,
like what colors? Like what light colors? Like, be specific. We need tips and tricks.
Whites.
Whites,
you know,
okay.
So then there's
so white
clarity.
Linens, white
yes.
bedspread, white everything.
But everything is individual too, because, you know, some people might have a lot of fiery energy and maybe that's why they're not, you know, getting into a relationship. Maybe they need a little bit of more calmness. So everything is very individual. And then some people are very calm. Maybe they need some more passion.
More color.
Exactly, and more color.
But
and
overall, you'd say no to fake plants just in general?
Well, what is fake plant? It means fake energy, right? If you have plants that are growing, it's first of all, there are teachers, so you can, just by them growing in your house, you can learn so much. You have to water
them. I read this thing. It said, we think that we're watering plants, but actually they're harvesting us because they need our output to grow. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. It's like, yeah, we're actually slaves to our plants. But
we are.
But yeah, so what kind of plants do you love for in, like, calming interiors?
Also depends. What I do love to do, I'll give you a tip.
Okay.
Let's go. Is if you write little notes, let's say you want more love and passion in your life, as you said, you put a little note and then you plant the plant in the pod and then you watch it grow. So there is this relationship. So now you start to water it and watch it grow. And then when you see that it's a little dry, you take care of it. So there is a different relationship between you and the plant. You have this, you know, and then you can plant abundance or you can plant, you know, more focus or anything else, and you put
so the little note you put in is going to be it's like a manifestation.
Exactly.
But what are some of your favorite plants to do this with?
I don't know how what the name is, but I think it's we call it jiboy. It's like a snake plant. The ones that are hanging, my house is like a jungle because
I bet it is.
I like to make it very tropical there. I have. Yeah, I'm also very connected to the snakes. So for some reason, I have all these snake plants.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So like, you know, we know that certain plants have certain properties. Like I've heard that fiddle leaf figs, they like process negative energy. Exactly. What other plants other than snake plants and like fiddle leaves would you recommend?
Well, you can, so I won't give you the exact names because I don't know them off the top of my head, but you can see the plants that clear the air. Those are the ones that I keep in the house. There are some plants that you can, you can't keep at home, especially if you have animals because they have poison. So you need to be very careful. But it's really, it depends on the person, you know, if they want to have clear air, if they're living in like downtown or something like this, you know.
Okay, so let's talk more about like the moving things around, because I think that's an interesting idea. I mean, obviously you'd have to buy furniture that is light on its feet. Like you can't get a bed that has a big heavy headboard or something if you plan on moving it around based on how you feel. So I want to know, like, do you have to buy furniture that's very low to the ground and like doesn't have a heavy frame?
If that fits your lifestyle, that's what you want to attract. Some people just want solid foundation, and maybe that's what they need. If they want like a solid, you know, relationship, maybe they need to put a very heavy and solid bed in one place and just keep it there.
Keep it there. Yeah. So if I'm a client and I come to you and I say, listen, I just, you know, bought this flipped property. It's got all this like new energy and new floors, new everything, but I want it to feel like home. I want to infuse it with good vibrations. What would your method be to getting it there?
A lot of details, right? Like, as I said, plants, crystals, certain objects that would invite you to feel, or maybe some objects that resonate with a certain experience. Those are very important because you know, you can put an inspirational quote on the wall, or you can put a crystal that resonates with someone that you really love and care, or maybe that person gave you, you know, a good advice, or maybe it's dear to your heart. So all of those things, they would make the home very comfortable and very inviting.
But I have to furnish this house with all new stuff.
Well, there's many different, depending on the style, you know, if let's say someone says, oh, I want to start doing yoga and meditating. Well, let's create a beautiful altar and a space for you to have that meditation cushion where you can go and start doing that.
Because I want to do that. When Nika and I were talking about that, we're like, we need to have that space, that like corner of our house that is for, is a spiritual space. Mm-hmm. Right now we don't really have that. And so we were talking about it, and that's actually what made me think of you, because I know how many, like, I know that you've done projects that are pretty big retail design projects in Topanga, and every one of those spaces feels like a place where you could meditate, you know?
Yes.
So, so I, like, know that you, like, brush brass finishes on your light fixtures, and some of them have, like, feathery details.
I go to consignment stores. I go to places where sometimes, like, it's really, you know, consignment stores. I have another place that it's like a warehouse of a bunch of Moroccan things, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I have another place in Santa Monica that they sell more of like modern.
What are your favorite stores to shop in?
Marco Polo is really good. We have the Moroccan beautiful warehouse. It's just never ending. It has a bunch of rugs and cushions.
Where
and
is mirrors. That?
That's in North Hollywood somewhere.
Okay.
There
okay.
on Marco Vine Polo. Street. Yeah. There's an amazing consignment store in like Woodland Hills, Calabasas area. And a lot of times I would go to thrift stores, but it depends on the budget. You know, some people have $500, some people have $5,000, some people have $500.
Do you use a pendulum?
I do, depending on, yeah. But yeah. I used to go shopping a lot with a pendant. Yeah,
yeah, I can imagine doing that. Like you stand in front of it like, is this good?
Should I buy this?
Sometimes you bring a thing into your space and you're like, oh my gosh, that is like, there's a energy about it that's like off about a piece of furniture. Have you had that experience?
You can smudge it. Clean the space.
You could smudge it. When you're making an altar for your like yoga room, what do you put on the altar?
Crystals, depending on what you want to attract. So there's different crystals for different energies that you want to bring into your life. Mm-hmm. You can bring put objects that resonate, as I said, with maybe a certain experience. Or maybe
like the magnet I got from driving from Ohio to Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
just stick it on there.
I'm just kidding.
You can put photographs of your
photographs
loved ones.
And yeah. What else?
Plants. Yes. Of course. Okay. Of course. Plants. Water. You know, it's always good to put a little bit of water to have that energy and giving things for the water and elements of the earth. You know, elements of. The water.
Have you ever built a mantle?
No.
An altar?
Altar.
It's
altar.
Fun, yeah. You can make little mandalas. And
your fragrance, what is that?
Ascendant Health.
Ascendant Health.
Yeah. Sufi Bliss. It's a perfume, an oil perfume that is made by this incredible company, and they're really into creating product that is based on like bacteria. Good bacteria and
good
bad bacteria. So they introduce the good bacteria to the bad, and then they make the magic. Yeah,
I would love my house to smell like that.
Thank you.
We'll put a link to that as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just want to like I'm gonna go home, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna create my altar. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use some of the crystals that Michael brought on a couple podcast episodes ago. But what else should I be doing? Like for, you know, for success, for career, for balance, for whatever, like how do you decide what to move? Like moving the furniture. I want some tips like for real that we can take home.
Well, there's also one more thing I wanted to say for the altar. You can put your jewelry on the altar and charge it there, because with all the prayers, with the meditation, with everything that you put in there, it kind of charges up, and then when you wear it, you carry it. So
wow.
It's really beautiful.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And
like you know,
iPhone charger.
It goes through this whole, like, how do you wake up? Do you wake up and do you do the meditation, and then you say your prayers, and then you put the jewelry on? And then before you go to bed, it kind of reminds you to take the jewelry off, do your meditation, do the prayer, and then it charges overnight, and then you put it back again. So you can really adopt that into your
practice.
I like that.
That's a great
idea.
Also makes space for that. Right?
Yes.
We all
yes.
need more of that. I feel like I definitely do.
Yes.
More spirituality, more time for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also like maybe instead of choosing the things that I think are going to make the house look like a magazine, you know, choosing things that have some spiritual significance and handpicking those things or things that like really call to you. Like,
it's also a reminder. It's a reminder for you to take the minute.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
feel
it.
Yeah.
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 Because I think with real estate, we're so used to just like staging things that even when I'm furnishing my own home, there's like a sterility to it sometimes where I'm like, oh, you know, I want it to look like the magazine. I want it to look like the pictures. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, totally. And
so I'm like, maybe I.
But it takes the personality out.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Which is what it's supposed to do for resale.
Right.
But then you move into your space and you're like, oh, I actually want to have some sacred energy in this space. And you know it when you walk into it. I don't know if you guys out there remember when there was a Buddhist temple on the market in Frogtown. And there was this, like, you took your shoes off before you went in the one room you had to. And there were 100 people there to see this property. But when you went into this one room, and it had, like, red carpet, it's outdated. Mm. The energy in that room of prayer was, like...
overwhelming.
I mean, it was, like, you could feel it. And it felt like peace, you know. But you could, like, feel, you could, like, cut it with your with a knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you almost don't want to go into that space if you're toxic, you know? You mm-hmm. almost feel like, I'm just going to leave that perfect space alone. But, you know, in our homes, there's chaos, you know? There are dogs, and there are people, and there's work, and there's calls, and there's kids, and the da-da-da-da-da. And it's hard to create that space. But I do think if we can successfully do it, we can probably infuse our loved ones with that calm. And even our animals will probably chill out when the mailman comes, and who knows?
Well, there's another good thing that I think everyone can do is I play music for my home. So I would, if you have Sonos or Alexa, you just play meditative music as a background. And every time you come into the space, you already are in that flow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even when you're not home, I play it for the plants and for...
What's your favorite playlist? Or what do you
You can
suggest?
Just, yeah. You can just go to, like, day meditation, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. on Spotify,
mm-hmm.
Something like, and then you can actually program it that in the morning it will start the morning meditation, and in the evening it will start the evening okay. meditation.
We're gonna cool. try this,
and then yes. Yeah, you just have
I
it
like
as you,
that. You play music because your plants also take it in.
Exactly,
your plants and your home and will absorb the musical sounds.
Exactly.
Well, I love that. Do you guys have any other questions for Karina?
I would suggest to, yeah, dance always for the house, for your plants, for yourself, most importantly, you know, and, yeah, make it into a jungle.
Make your house into a jungle. Thank you, Karina, so much for joining us today.
It's interesting that she talked about textures and different materials and colors, because we tell our flippers the same thing. Like, put some texture and some earthiness into the house. Don't make it shiny subway tiles. Do something that you can feel and mm-hmm. that is, like, interesting, and that gives that special extra. And that's exactly what she was talking
totally.
About.
Totally. And even though she didn't say specific plants to buy, the irony of that is, like, it's like you go in and you pick the thing that makes you feel a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. So rather than, like, going by the book and buying the West Elm mirror yeah. that was in that other person's house, you're actually, like, going in and being like, how does this make me feel? How does this make me feel? And you pick the things that make you feel a certain type of way.
I think we should ask ourselves that a lot more.
Probably.
How does it make me feel?
I think exactly. we should.
And then to all you people that have animals, like, I have cats, most plants that make me feel amazing, I can't have because my cats would die. So you have to sort of, like, find the pet friendly version of the things you like. And there's right. there's this website, this plant that you like. They even say pet safe, pet, you know, don't buy when you have a pet. Like, what is that? With the little, the plants, with is the it, water.
Is it plant?
Like Easy Plant?
Maybe.
Easy Plants is amazing.
It's so
Easy
cool.
Plants I love so, so much.
Mm-hmm.
Easy Plants, it's made by the same people that did mixed tiles or something. But anyway, they created this company where you can buy a plant in a pot, and it has a self-watering container. You only have to fill it up once a month, and it waters it the exact right amount. So you never have to worry about over or under watering.
And
it's
I believe
genius.
Those plants are labeled pet safe or not.
Okay. Which is probably
super cool.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy Plants. I have a few of them. And we have them in the offices and stuff. I mean, really, they're great. Amazing. But the other thing I'm really, like, inspired to do now is, and it's a great idea, is to turn music on in the house when I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, let the walls absorb energy. I didn't even think about it.
Because it would be so nice to come home and you walk into the sound
right.
cloud.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
You walk into a space.
I never thought of that.
It's already alive.
I never did either, but it's such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw one. Now, I'm not a huge fan, but occasionally Joel Osteen says things that are actually kind of, like, good. Okay, yeah. I know.
I don't know where you're going here, but
I'm going. So what? Here's one thing he said. He said, if you know, when you're a working parent, you walk into the house, the first thing you do when you walk through the door makes a big impact on the house. You know, so, like, if you walk through the door and you're on the phone, it's like there was no disconnection between the outside world and inside your home. But if you walk through the door and the first thing you do is you give your kid a hug, they feel like a high priority, like you just mm-hmm. went from that world into their world, and like it makes a huge impact. Or you give your wife a kiss, or you whatever, you know, like you acknowledge that space as being separate. And I think with real estate, that can be kind of hard sometimes. Like, you just,
I love that. I think it's so, I love that too. But I want to say something fun. Like, if you can find your kid, because my kid's usually in front of the computer playing video games. But what I do is I take my shoes off. We're like a shoeless house every time. Like, and I tell everybody, shoes off.
Yeah.
Because it's just so.
That's another way to do
it. It's like a respect thing. Like,
but imagine if you walk from outside into your home and it's just like, like low ohm, like in the background.
Yeah.
You've got your sacred spaces and scents and everything going. Like, it could really make it feel distinctive from the outside chaos.
And I saw something on Instagram I told you the other day. It's like, if there weren't any problems in our job, we would just be transaction managers. We would not nearly earn what we do. You know, thank God for the problems, because we wouldn't be needed if there weren't any. I'm like thinking, okay, I'm not going to embrace the problems, but I'm going to be just, that's just what it is.
I actually don't mind the problems. I'm a good problem solver.
My problem
solver.
Is how to not have the problem eat my soul.
Yeah, that's one thing.
That's my problem.
That's a problem.
You're so, every time I have that, I call Courtney and I'm like, okay, she talked me off the list.
Well, I think for me, the whole entire point of it is, you know how like when you're dating, there are certain people like everybody, you're like, I'm not going to let you disrespect me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a line, here it is, you know, and once you cross that line, there's no going back. Do not disrespect me. And I feel like in our job, that line gets a little bit blurred. Like, sometimes clients think they can disrespect you. Sometimes other agents think they can disrespect you. Like, everybody's trying to put you in your place. And it feels like you have to be defensive sometimes. And that's really fucked up, because we're in a service-oriented industry where we want to please. So, you know, it's like kind of a dysfunctional relationship emotionally, except if you draw this line and you go, okay, feel how you feel. Here's my job. Beyond this line, I'm not going to let you disrespect me. There's nothing you can do, agent who has a bone to pick, or, you know, person who's not happy with the offers that came in or whatever. Like, you're not going to disrespect me. I know we do an extraordinary job. And that is what makes me sleep at night.
You have to know your worth. You're right.
Got to know your worth. Yes. And once you do that and you have your, you know, you're grateful for what it is, these first world problems that we have, then, you know, I think then you can, like, you know, give yourself permission to feel it and let it go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, now we just need a self-lighting candle. And then we'll
I'm a big fan of diffusers.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
No, it's a great idea. Make it on an app.
But I'm a big fan of diffusers, which you obviously have to turn on manually, but also these beautiful room scent that just keep
giving. I was going to bring a couple today. I actually just got a couple. I'm going to save that for next time when we do an episode, which we will do, on amazing home inventions. Yes. Because Dwell just released something. But I don't like their choices. I think we have better choices, so we're going to, you know, make that show happen. Anyway, hope you can join us next time on Under All Is the Land. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And thank you for tuning in. Under all is the land, real estate. Courtney and your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple.